Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad today's Sunday. I needed to come to church. I just felt it was about time. 7 days is enough without church, so I'm glad I came to church. The message is a little controversial. What the topic is, not controversial, but causes some confusion. I have a question for you, and it's a loaded answer. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in miracles? Really? Do they still happen like we read the Bible and there's just overwhelming things happening there? Do we still have miracles like that happening today? A miracle, the definition of a miracle is a violation of natural law. Think of some of the Bible, think of some of the miracles in the Bible, the New Testament particularly, and it is a violation of natural law, a miracle. In the Gospels, Jesus is credited with 34 miracles. Next time you sit down and read the Gospels, count them, see how many you can mention. But they are what are called the big three miracles, the virgin birth, the resurrection, and the ascension. These are mega, all miracles are mega, but these especially. Now, Jesus is credited in the Gospels with 34 miracles. Can somebody name one? Just shout it out. Somebody over here, shout out a miracle. That was shouting. What was it?
The lame man.
The lame man. How many years was he lame? 38 years. Okay, we're going to mention him. Somebody over here want to name a miracle.
He touched the blind man.
What was that?
He touched the blind man and he could see.
Okay, touched the blind man and he could see. Somebody over here.
The woman with the blood condition for 12 years and he healed her.
Okay, the woman that came and touched the hem of his garment. Somebody over here. Have a miracle.
Raise Lazarus from the dead.
Whoa. Whoa. Raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is credited with 34 miracles, but they say these are only the ones that are recorded. If you read John 21:25, it says, I suppose that if all the other things that Jesus did were written down, the whole world could not contain its books. So there are more miracles that Jesus did that are recorded. Only 34 of them are recorded, but there are more that actually happened. Do you believe in miracles? Did I answer that question already? Do you still believe in miracles? Raising Lazarus from the dead, turning the water into wine. Let's read that one. Turn to John chapter 2. Verses 1 to 10, which is Jesus turning the water into wine, which is credited with the first miracle. John chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. The next day, the day before, Jesus had been selecting some of his disciples. So the next day, Jesus' mother was a guest at a wedding celebration in the village of Canaan in Galilee. In the village of Canaan, that's the town, and the state that it was in is Galilee. It's something like Loudoun, New Hampshire. So all the information was given. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out. Now, us Nazarenes, we never have that happen to us. Not that the wine doesn't run out, we never have it. The wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother spoke to him about the problem. They have no more wine, she told him. So she speaks to her son and says that problem. How does that concern me? Jesus answered. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. His mother must have had an idea that Jesus knows what to do. I wonder if he committed some miracles, performed some miracles before this. It's the first one that's recorded. But I wonder if he did some as a teenager or as a young man in his 20s. I don't know. It's not listed. But she seems to be suspicious that he's going to handle the problem okay. But mother told the servants, do whatever he tells him. 6 stone water pots were standing there. They were used for Jewish ceremonial purposes. Jesus is going to take the water in these stone pots and turn them into wine. But these pots were used for ceremonial cleansing. In other words, when you came in off the street, you washed your feet with this water. And that's the water they're going to turn into wine? I hesitate drinking wine, much less made out of water you use to clean your feet with. 6 stone water pots. And they were the big stone water pots that stood a couple feet high. Six stone water pots were standing there. They were used for Jewish ceremonial purposes and had 20 to 30 gallons each. Now, let's do some math. Joyce was a math teacher, so she liked this. How many stone pots were there? Were you paying attention when I read class? How many stone pots were there? Thank you. Oh, that's much better. Six. And how many gallons did they hold, each one? 20 to 30. So let's say they held 20 gallons. So 6 times 20 is? It wasn't as enthusiastic. 6 times 20 is?
120.
Okay, so maybe 120. And then if it had 30 gallons, it would be 6 times 30 comes to how many gallons?
180.
That's a lot of wine. So they had to go fill them up. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. Now these guys, these men, were in charge of the wedding feast. I'm surprised they didn't say, listen, I'd be glad to do it, but I got to clean up the plates. We're going to cut the cake soon. And I don't have time to fill these. And besides, they're so heavy, I don't want to drag them around. But they didn't do that. They did what Jesus asked them to do. Quite often a miracle occurs because we do exactly what Jesus instructs us to do. Sometimes it doesn't occur because we leave some of the things out. Let's see what they did. When the jars had been filled to the brim, I like that, because a gallon of water, I think, is about 5 pounds. So these things were heavy. But they filled it to the brim, and he said, dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. Wait a minute. Has anybody tested this stuff yet? I don't know how long it takes to make a wine, because you have to let it ferment a while. And this was just in the same day. So he said, dip some out and take to the master of ceremony. So they filled his. So they followed his instructions. Now the question I have is, I have questions and I don't have answers. When did the water turn to wine? When they first filled the pot? When they first dipped it out? When they first gave it to the master of ceremonies? I don't know. Anybody get an answer to that one? I don't know when it happened. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was new, now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. Usually a host serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone is full, or if everybody's a little tipsy, they bring out the less expensive wine. But you have kept it to the best until now. This miraculous sign in Cana of Galilee was Jesus' first display of his glory, and his disciples believed him. First miracle. For 30 years, the one who crafted the universe had crafted furniture. He worked as a carpenter. I wonder if he made tables. I wonder if you ever try to make a piece of furniture and you can't get it to stand still, it always rocks. I wonder if he had trouble with that. I don't have an answer to that, I have a question. He was the Son of God, and he was the best-kept secret for 30 years, but all that was about to change at the wedding feast. The bride and the groom probably didn't realize that they had needed a miracle. A miracle are constantly happening all around us at all times. I ask you if you believe in a miracle, and I write here that a miracle occurs all the time all around us. We need to take time to appreciate the miracles. Let's see now. Joyce the other day looked outside and said, look at that. The tree started turning colors. Do you appreciate the colors of fall this year? When we were pastoring up in Burlington, Vermont, one Sunday morning in late September, early October, we were getting ready to start the church, and a big Greyhound-type bus pulls into the parking lot, and about 50 people get out and come to the church. I said, whoa, that's pretty good. Where'd they come from? They were from Texas. Why'd you drive all the way from Texas to Vermont? To look at the foliage. Do you appreciate the miracles around us? Sometimes we get so accustomed to them that we don't appreciate them and we miss it. A miracle is a violation of the natural law. People, even Christians, are sometimes skeptical of miracles. Miracles go against the natural law. Turning water into wine. That goes against just over within a few minutes. How about walking on water? I've read articles, people saying that the water was only ankle deep, that Jesus was actually on the shore. People are skeptical. Do you believe Jesus actually walked on the water? Do you believe Peter actually walked on the water? Peter walked on the water just as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. Do you believe Jesus fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch? I wonder what happened when the boy went home. His mother said, "How was lunch?" "I have a few leftovers." 5 jars full. Somebody mentioned restoring the blind man, restoring the crippled man. Lazarus, woo. That's a biggie. You know what's interesting? When he turned the water into wine, I wonder if he would have done anything if his mother hadn't called attention to it. Jesus, there's a need. I wonder if he would have stepped up and taken the initiative. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Somebody mentioned that? I wonder if he would have taken the initiative if she didn't come and touch his garment. You know, most of these miracles, there's a responsibility that we have to get it to occur. How much did Jesus do and how much did we do with miracles? Are you willing to go out on a spiritual limb? Are you willing to go out on a spiritual limb? You know, we pray very nicely and very formally, "Oh Lord, this is a problem I have here. Take care of it." Do we really believe in miracles? Do we believe miracles? Do we go out on a spiritual limb? The crippled man. 38 years he was crippled. Have any of you ever sprained your ankle or broken your ankle or had a leg problem? And you're laid up for a couple of days and you try to stand up and walk and you can't. Now he was crippled for 38 years. He hadn't stood up for 38 years. What does Jesus do? Not only does he tell him to stand up, he says, "Pick up your mat and take it home with you." Now suppose he would have said, "I have to go to therapy tomorrow, 3 times a week. And then after 6 weeks I can walk." What if he said that? Jesus just said, "Stand up." Are we willing to go out on a spiritual limb to see miracles occur? Talk about a real spiritual limb with Lazarus. Lazarus come out. Nearly every miracle has a supporting cast. Feeding the 5,000 was a little boy. Here's a story I like. Remember the 4 men were carrying a man on a mat? And they couldn't get in because the house was so crowded. So they go upstairs. The roofs were flat there. And they rip a hole in the roof. My question is Jesus is standing there preaching, and they're ripping a hole in the ceiling. Didn't anything fall down in front of Jesus? I have questions. I don't have answers. What is that? And they lowered the mat. Now suppose, and then Jesus healed the man. But suppose the 4 men didn't want to help out. "Listen, I've worked all day, and it's late at night. I don't want to do this." I have a question for you. What was the name of the 4 men? What was the name of the little boy? We don't know. If you're willing to be an ordinary extra, God will do something extraordinary. If you're willing to be an ordinary, what were the name of the guys that turned the water into wine, that served the master of ceremony? We don't know any of this. Listen to this. If you want to take something home with you, don't seek miracles. Follow Jesus. Don't seek miracles. I'm looking for a miracle. You know how many people have been cured of Parkinson's? None. I'll go out on a limb. I'm praying to be healed. I'm praying to be the first one. Don't seek miracles. Follow Jesus. Now, back in the summer, I preached a sermon here at Loudoun on revival. And I stated, rarely do we have revivals because revivals are disruptive. All of a sudden, in the middle of the service, somebody will jump up and shout and give a testimony or come up. I remember I mentioned I saw we're at a camp meeting where Brother McPherson came up and hugged the evangelist right in the middle of the sermon. And it was just such a release. We rarely see revival because it's very disruptive. Most churches have bulletins where they have the hymns in and listed everything, and they forget to put in time for the Holy Spirit to be disruptive. You know? Somebody want to give a testimony? Just jump up, wave your hand. Some of the greatest services are that way. Most of us follow Jesus for miracles to the point it becomes inconvenient. It didn't become inconvenient for that lady with the issue of blood. She crawled through the mob and touched him. It didn't become inconvenient for the ruler, the temple ruler. Jesus was 20 miles away from where his son was, and it wasn't inconvenient for him to walk the 20 miles to Jesus for his son to be healed. But we sometimes miss miracles because it's inconvenient for us. This sermon is mainly autobiographical, I have in here. About miracles, always remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world, what happened? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the greatest miracle there is. With God, nothing is impossible. Faith doesn't ignore the doctor's diagnosis. Faith doesn't ignore the doctor's diagnosis, but sometimes we need a second opinion from the great physician. The man who was crippled for 38 years didn't wait for a second opinion. He just stood up. The woman needing bleeding blood didn't wait for a second opinion. Lazarus didn't wait for a second. This man of Lazarus was in the grave and says, I'll come out in a minute as soon as I get a second opinion. He just came right out. There's one basic miracle that we fully believe in. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, like everything else, will live again. Jesus raising Lazarus was indescribable. Raising the widow's son from the village Nain was spectacular. The rich young ruler from 20 miles away, you and me. The greatest miracle, the greatest healing miracle we've ever had is when Jesus comes and cleanses of our sins. There's no greater healing miracle. That's the first one that we need. But the world is different because of this greatest miracle. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. You know, we have the expression, Christmas in July. I'm going to start a new one. Easter in September. I think we ought to celebrate Easter every Sunday, because that makes a distinction. I've used one cartoon in a sermon illustration in all the years I preached. Remember the cartoon BC? Okay. Well, it was on an Easter Sunday in the comic strips, and BC, who's a caveman, is walking up a hill, and there's up above, there's a hole in the mountain. And he goes up to the mountain, and he looks, and this is on Easter Sunday, and he looks inside the cave, and he comes out, and he goes, yes! You know what that meant? There was nothing in the grave. Jesus arose. Have you ever done that? You look into the grave. Yes, it's empty. Now Mary, when she went to the tomb, she was kneeling down facing the tomb, and Jesus was behind her. See, she was still facing the tomb, which was symbolized death, and it was empty. Jesus was behind her. Now Jesus said her name. Jesus knew her name. Said Mary, and she turned around. She turned away from the death, she turns away from the tomb, and she sees Jesus, and she says, Master, have you turned around and faced Jesus Christ? We could talk about a lot of healing miracles that could probably people would love to have here today, but the greatest healing miracle is up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. Go out of church singing and celebrating that he arose and you're a different person. You've had the greatest miracle there ever was or ever will be. God bless you.